Hello and welcome back, everyone. You're listening to IASA's Additional Coverage Podcast, episode number 31. I'm your host, Tim Hicks. And joining me for today's additional coverage, I'm pleased to welcome today's guest, Mark Kohler. Mark, it's good to see you. Glad to have you join us today.
Tim, thanks so much for having me here. I'm excited.
Mark is an elite leadership keynote speaker and the founder of Mark Kohler Speaks and Lead with Purpose. Mark will also be presenting the keynote session, Fast Attack Leadership, the five-step framework nuclear submarine officers use to develop elite teams during this year's OnPoint Executive Conference at IASA Exchange, IASA's 2024 Exchange and OnPoint event. It's taking place June 2nd through 5th in Pittsburgh. Don't miss the chance to connect with your peers in the insurance, accounting, and finance industries. Earn CPE credits while gaining insight from today's industry experts. Discover new business solutions at the trade show. The schedule is packed with engaging speakers, networking, and fun social events. You can register between now and March 31st and save yourself some bucks. Visit IASA.org for more details. But today, Mark is going to give us a little preview. Well, Mark, when we think about leadership in 2024, things have drastically changed over the past 5 years as we found ways to deal with the pandemic and everything else since then. What are the challenges that leaders are facing today?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge that every leader is facing today is how to lead their business. And when you peel everything back, what it all comes down to is the speed of business and the speed of the environment that we're in right now. It's too fast for one person to manage on their own. Now, pre-COVID, it was, hey, the leader's involved in a lot of decisions. And now it's about how do we take and we push decision-making down. So I think the speed of business has accelerated. And we're seeing that now, Tim, in people, the number of people and percentage of people who are burned out at their job is tremendous. You know, something like 60, 70% are burned out. And the reason is leaders don't know what to shift to. They don't know the leadership skills and tools they need to shift to. They're still using tools from a pre-COVID world that the new world of work does not value. And I would just add one thing. It's causing a lot of friction and a lot of pain. And when we've been working with leaders, they know they need to make some type of shift. They just don't know where to shift to. So I think those are the two big challenges, speed of business and not knowing what lily pad to jump to next.
Gotcha. And I couldn't agree more. It's a real shift that, especially with more people working in a hybrid environment like me, that you've got to figure out how to make things work. And like you said, pass down leadership things as necessary. Well, tell me about your view on leadership. Where are the places that need the most attention and the most improvement?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when I was in the submarine force, the biggest thing that I was able to be exposed to was this environment where it was everyone is a leader. And what I mean by that is we had 110 people on board the submarine and the average age was 23 years old. And we were underneath the surface of the ocean months on end, life and death situations, and missions critical to national security, operating a billion-dollar piece of equipment. And when I think back on that, I think like right now in the ocean, there's 50 U.S. nuclear submarines. They're made up of 130 crew now, 30 millennials leading 100 Gen Z. There's no Gen X. There's no baby boomer on those submarines. And so the environment that I was exposed to was that everyone is considered a leader and everyone considers themselves a leader. And here's why. 400 feet below the surface of the ocean, Tim, whether you'd been on board the submarine for 3 days or 3 years, the person responsible for extinguishing the fire that starts in the engine room is the person who's closest to the fire. You don't go, hey, there's this fire back here. Can you get someone back here to put it out? So we all needed to know that you could step in and step up and you could lead. So I think when I take a look at like, what's my view on leadership? That's the first mindset shift that you have to take. All elite level teams, they have this as a key ingredient. They view everyone as a leader and they view, and everyone views themselves as a leader. Once you make that mindset shift, then everything else can change there. Because you're going to go, hey, Tim's a leader. So I have to give Tim a development program to teach him how to be a leader. Hey, I have to give Tim opportunities. He's not going to make everything exactly right the first time. I got to give him opportunities to fail to success. And so it's this mindset shift that if you can make that mindset shift first, it doesn't mean it's going to be pixie dust where you go, hey, I just ordered this on Amazon. I ordered 130 copies of, you know, Everyone's a Leader. You're going to have to work at it. But I believe that in my philosophy is that's the foundation that you have to start with.
So if I can paraphrase what you're saying is not only do you need to take responsibility, you also have to have the authority. And that's kind of where you're heading with this, right?
Yes. Yeah, because here's the thing. The companies that are going to win today are the ones that make the most smart decisions the fastest. Most smart decisions the fastest isn't you as the leader at the top of the organization making all the decisions and pushing decision-making down. The outside world, the speed of decisions that need to be made has gone up dramatically. And so if you think you're going to continue just to stay on this treadmill and someone's going to keep raising it up and you can run faster, you're not going to do it on your own. So yes, you have to be able to push decision-making down and give people responsibility and authority.
That sounds amazing. Well, now here we are. We're more than a month and a half into 2024. People in leadership, can you believe it? People in leadership need to maintain their focus. Yeah, eyes on the prize, right? Where do you think there should be laser focus in 2024?
A couple of stats really point us to where we should focus. First, we have to focus on ourselves. We have to make a shift in how we're leading. A study came out by Korn Ferry said that 86% of leaders don't have the skills and tools necessary to lead in today's disruptive world. So we don't have the skills and tools. And I know a lot of leaders, Tim, you know what they say? I'm going to fake it till I make it.
I've heard that a few times.
Yeah. But here's the counterpart to that. 79% of employees look at their leaders and don't believe that their leaders have the capability or have the skills and tools to lead in this new disruptive world. That's 79%. A year ago, that used to be 71%. So it's not getting better. It's getting worse.
That is staggering.
Staggering, right. So I think if we want to be a great team player, we have to first take a look at ourselves and say, hey, what are the things that I need to do as a leader? And here's a couple things, and I'm going to go deep into this in the keynote at both events. But the first thing that you need to look at, the biggest challenge for leaders is the leader themselves. The leader doesn't want to give up control. I might look at it and go, hey, I think Tim's not going to be able to do that like I do it. There's no way he's going to be able to make the decision like I made it. So one of the biggest challenges is the leader themselves. And so I would say one of the biggest things that leaders can focus on is their own leadership skills. And when you want to take that first step into it, if you want to push decision-making down, make sure that people that you're pushing the decision-making down care about the job that they're doing. 70% of employees today aren't fully connected to the mission of their company. And so I think the first thing you need to do is make sure they understand, hey, here's the difference we make in the world. Here's why we exist. And once you can do that, then you're going to be able to push decision-making down. So I think number one is make the message really clear of what that mission is, and then be willing to just take one step and push decision-making down. For those people who are listening and not going to be at the conference, I think I equate it to when I, you know, if you've ever taught anyone how to ride a bike, when we take these first steps of leadership, of pushing decision-making down, is we don't start a person who's never ridden a bike. We don't start them on a 10 speed on a downhill. We start them on a, you know, maybe there's some hard grass and they got the training wheels on, they have the helmet on, they got the elbow pads, the knee pads on, and they gain confidence doing that. And then we take the training wheels off and then we run behind them with our hand behind. That's the type of leadership that we need to have. And that's the type of patient that we need to have. And we've all done this. We're running behind and our child's sitting there going like, were you hanging on? You were hanging on the whole time, right? I go, no, I wasn't hanging on, even though I was. And then they go, really? And then they gain that confidence. And then ultimately we get to a point where we can put them on a little downhill or we can do this. So I think, you know, as you're taking that first step, don't just say, hey, there you go, Tim, you got it all, right? What are the first steps that you need to do? And it's about coaching and mentoring and teaching. But first step is make sure they're connected to the mission. Second step is give them something simple to push decision-making down so they can get confidence and you show them that you have the confidence in them. And then third thing is once you view everyone as a leader, you're going to start developing development plans for them. You're going to start having more conversations with them about making decisions and becoming a leader themselves. So I think those are the big areas that need to be focused on.
I've seen a dozen different memes about the difference between a boss and a leader. What do you do when your leader or the one who's supposed to be your leader doesn't possess those qualities themselves? They're more of a boss driving the thing instead of the leader in the front pulling the thing along.
So that's a great question. And, you know, I get asked this question all the time. Is leadership something that's learned or is it something that just a few select people are born with? And I would say yes to both. But there's a caveat. I believe that everyone is born with a leadership toolkit inside of them. And we think, like Tim, like my generation, probably your generation, it's from the same thing. We are always taught that the leader was supposed to have all the answers. And we have to unburden ourselves of that. Because the speed of business is so fast right now. When someone asks you a question, you have to have this ability to say, I just don't know. And when you're able to say that, you're able to show people that you're a human being, and then you're able to get them involved. Because the next question should be, well, what do you think? Let's work on this together. So when people say, hey, it's just a boss, it is certainly a lot easier just to give someone the answer. But to say that I can't learn how to be a good listener, to say that I can't learn how to treat someone with respect, to say that I can't learn how to connect people to the mission and to the values of the company, I think people are looking at that and they're opting out before they're even trying. One of the things I would share with you, when we talk about leader, people a lot of times say, hey, this is the soft stuff, like people being engaged and all of those things. And I think a lot of people look at that and say, hey, I can't really measure that. I can't really measure like the soft skills and the emotional intelligence. And so what we do is we just default to being a boss. But if you're out there, if you are a boss, you can make a change. You can make a change and you have to make a change. Employees don't want to work for someone that's just directing them the entire time.
Well, and you bring up another good point. I'm just going to flip the script on you.
Yeah.
I've got a big staff and a very well qualified people. I just can't get them to care. So as a leader, what tools do you use to engage your staff and get them to care?
So I believe the first thing you have to start off with, and I believe everybody's born with this. I believe everyone's born with wanting to belong to something bigger than themselves. And it's been proven in especially the new generation, the Gen Y and the Gen Z, 84% want to work at a company where they're making a difference in the world. It's not just about a paycheck anymore and a safe and secure job and I get benefits and yeah, I'm only 60% connected, but you know, I'm just there. So that's what they want. The first thing you have to do is you have to get really clear on your mission statement. And it can't be 42 words long. We're going to go in the keynote. We're going to talk about what you exactly have to do to make that clear, compelling, and concise. And here's what's going to happen, Tim. People are either going to be attracted to that or they're not going to be attracted to that. But there isn't going to be a gray space in between where you go like, well, sometime I don't exactly know what the mission really is. And so I would say, make sure that you get really clear on that mission statement. And then again, people are either going to be attracted to or not. I bring up an evaluation that people can do. I say, hey, write down the top five things that you do every single day. Even if it's the Monday, hey, I fill in the Excel spreadsheet. And then you ask a person on a scale of 1 to 5, how purposeful is that? 1 is not purposeful at all, and 5 is highly purposeful. And it's really a little bit of a trick question, because what we should be able to do is show how that person entering that information into the Excel spreadsheet, then takes it to the next level where they are able to take a look at scrap levels, where they're able to take a look at how it's impacting manufacturing, where it's they're looking at when the client gets our product, that it has the highest quality and that the client has a great experience. And so we should be making sure that we make these connections for everything that people do. We should make the connection and keep going and keep pulling the thread, keep asking why. Why is that important to do? And probably Excel spreadsheet's not a great thing because the AI is going to take and pull that all away. So I would say 70% of employees aren't connected to the mission today. And it's because it's just so vague, or it's 42 words long and it has 8 different descriptors in it. And it's not what's needed today. So I would say get really clear on the mission statement first.
But you're right. It has to start at the very most minute detail in order to build into what becomes a great company, a great corporation. I am so looking forward to sitting in on your session at the conference, but that's about all the time that we have for today's podcast. Hey, Mark, if our listeners would like to reach out to you, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, so we're on LinkedIn. You can go to Mark Kohler Speaks, and also Lead with Purpose. And both of those are our websites also. And I have a Servicing Leaders podcast. People are interested in all of that stuff's on those sites.
And if you have comments about the show or any questions or any show suggestions, you can always email me at tim.hicks@fisglobal.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. Be on the lookout for more new episodes that will be released, especially as we're building up towards the conference. You're going to hear a lot of the people that are going to be presenting sessions at the conference, giving you a little teaser about what they're going to be talking about. So be on the lookout for that. Until then, I'm Tim Hicks with today's guest, Mark Kohler.
Thank you so much for having me. Look forward to seeing you at the conference.
I really appreciate you sharing your time and expertise with us today. Take care and be well. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, please do us a huge favor and subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Do you have coworkers who also need to know about this podcast? Please let them know about the show so they can follow along as well. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.